Coming up on Hands on iOS, I am going to show you how to take control of your privacy with some simple settings. Hands on iOS is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on iOS is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/HOI. All right, folks, I thought it would be a great time to talk about privacy. That's right, taking control of your privacy on your iOS devices. Apple is already known for making sure that it keeps your data locked up and secure to the best of its ability. But when you install apps on your device and you use those apps, well, those apps collect information about you, depending on the privacy policies and the way that the app is set up to work. And so I thought it'd be a good time to talk about how you can go in and sort of audit the experience and make sure that you have things set up the way that you want. So this doesn't require any extra apps or anything like that. This is a setting that's available in your iOS device. So let's dig in. All right, first things first, we need to launch the Settings app. That's right. Once we launch the Settings app, we simply go down, we swipe down until we get to Privacy. You can see it's a hand there saying, stop, in the name of love, do not get into my settings. I tap on Privacy, and immediately you can start to see the information that's available to you. So I'm actually going to go through these categories so we can talk about what they are and what information they grant access based on the device. So first things first, when you download an app and you get you launch it, you're often going to get prompts throughout the experience of using the device that say, hey, can I use your location information? Hey, can I use your contact information? Hey, can I use this? Can I use that? And you choosing yes, 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 then makes an entry in this privacy tab to let you know what you have and have not granted access to. That's why it's good to check in here every once in a while and make sure that those privacy settings are still what you want. So I'm going to go to location services first, and up top you can see that first thing is whether you want to have location services on at all. So these are GPS and Bluetooth and other information to determine your actual location. Now, this of course also is tied to your Apple Watch. So if you leave your phone at home and you use your Apple Watch, that information is there as well. So turning this off completely disables any location services that are part of your device. And if I tap on location alerts, then you can see that there's an option to toggle off showing maps and location alerts. So what that does is when you get a location alert popping up, does it or does it not show a map to the exact location? So I'm going to go back, and there, the next setting is one called Share My Location. This is you telling iOS across all of your devices what devices you want to actually determine your location. So for example, this iPhone, the one that I carry with me everywhere, is my device for determining my location, as well as any cellular connected Apple Watches. So if I tap on that, I can choose to change that to a different device. So right now, it shows share my location. I could toggle that switch off and it would say, no, I don't want to use this device to share my location. And of course, find my iPhone is turned on, which lets me find my iPhone if it ever gets lost. And then you can see information about who does and does not have access to your location. And as I've mentioned before, fun fact, Megan Maroney is the one person that has access to my location at all times. So thanks for watching out for me, Megan. Appreciate it. All right, now this is where things get interesting. You can see this long list of apps, and what's that? Not just apps, but also services like Apple Watch Faces and Apple Watch Workout. These aren't quite apps, but they are system integrations that make use of your location. So I can tap into any individual app, so for example, AAA, and I can say, yes, you can always have access to my location, whether I'm using the app or not. Yes, I want you to have access to my location while I'm using the app. Next time I launch the app, that's when I want you to ask me again. But until I launch the app, do not access my location, or nah, I never want you to have access to my location. So oftentimes too, you'll see at the bottom a little explanation for why the app is asking for your location, why it needs that information. Apple requires that an app, upon asking for your location, gives you information for the necessity of that information. So for AAA, it's using my location to determine roadside assistance, discounts, and some other information, including gas station prices. I can go through all of my apps and say yes or no to having location services. And if you see this little arrow here, this little arrow next to App Store, that is saying that the App Store is currently using my location. And you, as you swipe through, you'll see different options here where an app is currently using your location or not. So there's a purple one for Carrot Weather, Dark Sky, Day One, always has access, but is not currently using access to my location. So if I swipe all the way down to the bottom, here is where you can see this information. So a hollow arrow indicates that an item may receive your location under certain conditions. A purple arrow indicates that an item has recently used your location, and a gray arrow indicates that an item has used your location in the last 24 hours. So you can see which ones are using your location right now or recently, and which ones haven't in a while, and that can kind of help you decide if you want that information tracked. You can also see that down here I have the Apple Heart and Movement Study, and it has access to my sensor and usage data. So on top of access to my location, it gets a little bit more information than that. One little pro tip, you can see that these are alphabetically ordered except for system services, which down here at the bottom is all on its own. If I tap into system services, now you get some really interesting information, including Apple Pay merchant identification, compass calibration, HomeKit, location-based alerts, location-based Apple ads, and so much more. So product improvement information as well. I have chosen, yes, you can use my location to improve maps. You can use it to improve iPhone analytics. And then the status bar icon. So that is the little arrow in the top left corner. And I can choose to have that on so that I know when an app is currently using my location or may have used my location in the past little bit of time. So you kind of are always aware when something is grabbing your location via GPS data. And significant locations, that, my friends, is a big one. Significant locations is Apple's way of determining locations that you visit frequently. So the more you use the phone to go to different places, it can determine your most popular locations that you visit and then use that information to provide you some assistance. So the operating system itself will say, hey, I notice you go to this place a lot, Twit Studios. Maybe that's your work and maybe you want information on how to get there, or you go to that place every day around X. So maybe whenever you get into your car around X, then you can be given a little prompt that says, okay, I want GPS information to that location. So make sure you go in here. I recommend leaving system services turned on. Maybe you would want to turn it off for significant locations if that's something that seems a little bit too much tracked for you. And product improvement is one that a lot of people, I think, would maybe want to turn off. For me, I'm okay with that information being shared with Apple. It is properly anonymized, etc. So I'm going to swipe out of that and just go through here every once in a while and make sure that the apps that are using your data are ones that you are okay with using your location information. Next is contacts. So these are apps that have said, hey, I'd like to have access to your contact information to either provide you information about who is on a specific social media network so that you can become friends with them there, or to send them messages or to send them emails, etc. So this is the way for these apps to gain access to your iOS contacts and provide you access to message them, etc. So going through here, of course, lets you turn on and off that. That's one I really recommend checking regularly, because maybe you don't want Facebook uploading your entire address book. Next is calendars. So all of these apps have gained access to my calendar for different reasons. Many of them are calendar apps or similar. So the deliveries app, for example, it will enter into my calendar a date for when a package is going to be delivered. So I could go through here and adjust that, but it gains access to all or some of your calendars. Then reminders. So these two apps make use of my reminders and can provide different information. Then photos. This is a big one. So photos that are stored on your iPhone, including, you know, depth information, GPS data, that kind of thing, all of that is available to these different apps. Now, you'll notice that when I tap into one, so Bonfire, for example, there's read and write access, or there's never. Some of them are going to have other options. So I'll just talk about these ones first. Never means that the app no longer has access to your photos library. Read and write means that it can both see your photos library and add photos to your photo library. But some, and I'm struggling to find one that does this, some will only request read access. So instead of providing both write, meaning that it can add photos to your photo library, it only reads from those photos, meaning that you might want to add a profile photo to an app. And so it can see the photos in your photos library, but it doesn't add any itself. So going through there can make those adjustments. Bluetooth. These are the apps that have requested access to Bluetooth. Now, this is a relatively new category. This was not an option in former versions of iOS. And because of that, some people are a little bit skeptical about Bluetooth access. Does an app need or not need? You can see most of the time, most of my switches were turned on, but with Bluetooth, not so much. In fact, most of the time I have the switches turned off, I say, no, you don't need access to my Bluetooth unless they give a very clear example for why that's the case. So scrolling through here, you can see I've got a lot turned off. Then microphone. What apps do I want to give access to my microphone? If you see an app in here that's not some sort of music app or audio recording app or video recording app, maybe it doesn't need access to your microphone. Maybe you're going, why do you need that? Amazon Music, for example. I can tell you why Amazon Music has access to my microphone. That's because it has Alexa, Amazon's virtual assistant, built into it. But I could easily turn that off and say, no, I'm not going to use the virtual assistant to control Amazon Music. And I can scroll through here and see which ones do and don't need to have access to my microphone. Up next is speech recognition. Now, this is a relatively new category as well. This is the ability to send your voice to Apple to process dictation. So Apple has a built-in dictation service that apps can take advantage of, allowing you to send your voice to the app and then provide a dictation of that. So turning it into a transcript, essentially. Auto Dictation is one of the apps that has made use of speech recognition on the device. Camera. Many apps are going to ask for camera access. So this includes both photo and video access of the camera, front and back facing. So again, scroll through here and make sure that these are all apps that you do want to have access to your camera, because occasionally it might not need access anymore. And maybe it was just to get the app set up or to, again, add your profile photo. And then afterwards, we could shut it off if we don't need that access anymore. This episode of Hands on iOS is brought to you by ExpressVPN. When you're at home, your online activity can still be traced in incognito mode. That's why when I'm home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. ISPs can't see what sites you visit, and your data is 100% encrypted. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to secure my privacy. Visit a special link at expressvpn.com/HOI, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/HOI. expressvpn.com/HOI to learn more. Health, of course, another big and important category. I want to talk about the top two in a moment, but first I want to scroll through apps here. So these different apps are all ones that have asked for data control of my health information. So for example, let's go into FoodNoms, which is an app that will track your calorie intake as well as all of the different vitamins and minerals and things like that. Apple makes it very simple to say, I don't want you to have access to this anymore. I want you to turn it off. So you can choose to turn all categories off. And so you can see here, these are the categories to which it will write. So in the FoodNoms app, I can add, oh, I had an apple, and it can write the information there based on what the food is, as well as read access to active energy. So you can see that the app does a good job of explaining. FoodNoms can save your nutrition data to the health app. So that's the information that it's writing to. And then FoodNoms can use the health app data to provide additional options when configuring goals. So based on your current active energy, it might provide different goals using that information. All of these different apps provide different types of data tracking. So Messages, for example, at one point asked for access to my heart rate, just reading, not writing. And that was so that I could share that heart rate information within the Messages app, and I can easily turn on or off. So along with the apps that are currently installed, any apps that have ever written or pulled data from your iPhone are included in the uninstalled apps section, which is very helpful. So that way, you know, over time, what apps have gained access to your health data, even if they're no longer on your device. And then, of course, if you are a participant in any of Apple's research studies, that information is available in this section as well. Now, let's talk about the top two categories. Headphone audio levels. This is a really great integration that basically tracks how you are listening to audio in your environment and uses that information to let you know about your hearing health. So there are certain levels to audio that can start to damage your ears over time. And this says it's okay if you use your AirPods or Apple EarPods or whatever Apple devices you have to measure the level of audio that you are listening to using your iPhone. And then Include Other Headphones says, yes, along with tracking Apple's own audio apps or audio hardware, you can track third-party audio hardware. So you can see a list here of all of the different headphones, Bluetooth headphones and wired headphones that I've plugged into this thing. And it also uses those to provide information for hearing health. So I recommend having both of those categories turned on. One is with Apple and one is with third party. Obviously, Apple has more information about its own headphones and can provide more clear and accurate data, but both categories are available. And then this top one, this is a beta app, a beta version of iOS. And so this information, the COVID-19 exposure logging, is not currently available on iOS without a beta account. But iOS 13.5 will be rolling out soon. And with it comes the COVID-19 exposure logging API. That is some information that I'm going to talk about in a future episode of Hands on iOS when iOS 13.5 ships. But essentially, it is a way for Apple and Google who are working together to do what's called exposure tracking, letting you know and others know in very specific, very particular situations with whom you've come into contact. And if those people have been exposed to COVID-19, then you can be alerted and let you know that you should self-quarantine as well. Currently, when I tap on this, it says it's not available in my country. That is because it's currently not available in my country. And this is only an API. It is not an actual app. That is a different possibility that will come when a government official or a government group decides to create an app for doing this tracking information or logging, rather. So again, not something you need to worry about right now, but soon with the launch of iOS 13.5, that will be available. And at that point, I will provide more information on that. Up next is HomeKit. So these are the devices, or the apps rather, that have asked for access to your HomeKit setup. So they can control apps, they can control different smart home accessories throughout your home, or maybe they provide information to those apps so that you can see data about your home. And so turning those on or off says, no, I don't want you to have access to that information, or yes, I do. Next is Media and Apple Music. So this includes both your Apple Music library, but also activity that you have done within Apple Music. And so it can determine what you've listened to in the past, what you're currently listening to, that kind of thing, and then provide more information. So some apps don't have a built-in library for listening to music. It just simply brings up the Apple Music library. So by choosing yes, then those apps are able to show you your Apple Music library within the apps. By the way, Pyro, a fantastic app if you're looking for a sort of DJ app that properly mixes tracks together as you're going along. It's a really fun app, and I recommend people check that out. Pyro, check that out for sure. Research. So again, a very specific category and one that I want to talk about in a future episode as well. Apple's research kit gives you the ability to participate in health studies and research information across different partners that Apple has worked with. So this is health and move heart and movement rather. There is one for women's health, and there is one for hearing health. So these are the different apps that are currently making use of sensor and usage data that are within the research app. So you control those within the research app, but it does show as an entry here so you can see what is currently using your data. Up next is files and folders. So these are the apps that are using the file browser in iOS to show you what is available in your files app. So whether you are on an iPhone or an iPad or your Mac, if you have turned on iCloud syncing, then you can gain access to all of those files using the files and folders system within these different apps. Very handy. And then motion and fitness. So this includes fitness tracking. So, you know, stairs climbed, body motion, step count, etc. So I can turn that off completely. And then the phone will not even provide this information to apps that have requested it. But these different apps are taking advantage of that motion and fitness data. So health, the health app, of course, the pillow app, which is a sleep app, the Toolbox Pro app, which is a shortcuts app that works with shortcuts. And then Waze, which uses that information to provide even more detail about your mapping information. And once again, sensor and usage data from the research study. So motion and fitness is a really important category with all sorts of sensor data in particular. And then last but not least are two categories that folks really should be paying attention to. So you may have scrolled through and you made those adjustments on your apps, but you are still wondering about how your data is being shared or not shared with third parties. So analytics and improvements is an important category that includes, for me, share iPhone and watch analytics, share with app developers, improve Siri and dictation, share iCloud analytics, improve health and activity, improve health records, improve wheelchair mode, and enhanced beta feedback, which of course is just available for beta users. So the first thing is how you use your iPhone and your watch. This information is completely anonymized, and you can actually tap on analytics data to see the information that's been shared with Apple. And tapping into each of those would provide even more information on what exactly is being shared with Apple. Now, I can simply shut that off, and that information will not be shared with Apple. All of my daily diagnostic and usage data then stays on my device and does not get sent. Share with app developers is one that I typically have turned off, but Leo Laporte, for example, he has his turned on, and it lets app developers know how you are using the app, and particularly if the app crashes for some reason. So that way they can be aware and make sure that their apps are updated as they need to be to provide for a better experience. Improve Siri and dictation. This is a feature that was recently added as a toggle. It didn't used to be available as a toggle, and it says, hey, I'm okay with you sharing recordings of my, hey, SIRI information with Apple so that dictation and Siri itself can be improved. This is an important category that I continue to leave turned on, but is one that some people will feel not comfortable about sharing actual queries that they've had with Siri. iCloud Analytics, how you use iCloud. So iCloud folders, iCloud files, iCloud photos, iCloud Keychain, iCloud everything. How do you use that? Apple uses that information to improve upon its services. And then health and activity. That's one that I love to have on, as well as health records. Those are both health services. So by improving health and activity, you're giving over anonymized sensor data, anonymized information from the health app, including calorie tracking and all that kind of stuff, as well as your health records, again, anonymized. And that allows Apple to improve upon those as well. I think that they're incredibly important, and you'll notice that there are about links under each and every single one of these so that you can see, yes, that's something that I want to give over, or no, that's something that I don't want to give over. improve wheelchair mode. If I was in a wheelchair, if I did use a wheelchair, then I would have that one turned on, but I am not. And so I don't. And then last but not least is enhanced beta feedback. Again, that's for beta users, but it gives more information than you would typically give, if you were using a non-beta app, and I have that one turned off as well. I'm okay with Apple having some of my data, but I'm not trying to give over so much of it. And then advertising. This is another fantastic setting because it lets you say, I don't really want targeted ads. I don't want you to learn about me in order to provide ads that are specific to me. So for one, I choose to limit ad tracking, which just cuts back on the amount of targeted ads that are thrown at you. And then reset advertising identifier is a great little feature. In fact, as you're watching this, go ahead, hop in and choose that setting, unless you really like targeted ads. Because what this does is Apple will assign an advertising identifier to you. And then as you use different apps, the developers can make use of that advertising identifier to sort of track you across different things and use that usage information to provide you better ads, etc. So if you reset that advertising identifier, then you're a completely new person, you're a completely new identity, and you get to sort of start over. So I go in and I reset that every once in a while just because I don't want consistent tracking of me and my activity. And then view ad information. So this is basically the ability to see what ad information is known about you and lets you correct it if you need to and make adjustments to it. So tapping into that too gives you some more information and you can see what's going on there. And that is privacy. There are so many settings within privacy to help you take advantage and take control of your privacy settings on iOS. Make sure you are in charge of your data and only the apps that you want to have access to your data are the ones that do. It's super simple to hop in there. Again, you just launch the settings app, you scroll down, you tap on that privacy icon, and you hop into each of those categories. I know it seems it can be a little daunting or might seem like it'll take a little while, but it's totally worth it to make sure that only the apps that you want to have access to different parts of your data have access to your data. There is nothing more valuable than your personal data when it comes to these apps and services. So definitely make sure you know which ones are and which ones aren't using that data so that you are in control. It kind of feels nice to have control over something in these times, that's for sure. Things are changing constantly. We don't have all the answers. And so to have control over something kind of feels nice. So hopping in there is a little bit of self-care too, I would say. So be sure to check that out. And let me know if you found anything that surprised you or if you learned anything that surprised you here. You know, leave it in the comments, send me a tweet, whatever you want to do. And of course, if you're watching this for the first time and you have not subscribed, please do subscribe. You can head to twit.tv/HOI and subscribe to the show in all of its formats in both audio and video, though I recommend the video. You get to see everything as I go through it. And of course, youtube.com/hands-on-iOS. So don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to share it with a friend and like, comment, ring that bell, all the things that they say. It's complicated, but I'm learning. And I thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of Hands on iOS. Can't wait to come back next week with more. See you next time.